team last.
Okay. I'm Commissioner Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, and we have a 3:30 start time for fiscal year 2025 budget workshops, and we will be starting with Solid Waste Department.
1:30, Mr. Chair.
1:30, yes, but who's counting? Yes. Time's relative. That depends where you're at geographically. All right. And believe it or not, Director Loper is in the room and
yep.
ready to take off.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have Daniel with us as well.
All right.
Operations Hello. Manager. I didn't put together a fancy PowerPoint or anything. I'm just going to start with the document that the clerk's office provided us. So I'm just going to run through the first page and the charts, and then I wanted to run through the revenue part of the projected FY25 budget for the landfill. At that point, then I wanted to talk about the reorganization of the landfill with the additional FTEs and what we're doing there, and then lastly go through the B budget for the expense side. So the first page of the document the clerk's office provided, they provided two charts. Just wanted to highlight a couple things within those charts. The annual office department revenue, the very top chart, blue one. As you can see, our revenues have been increasing over time. Since I've been here, our revenues have been just steadily increasing. This particular chart shows 21 to now the requested 25. Just highlighting a couple things in there from our actual FY23, what we actually brought in to the current FY24 budget. You'll notice a little bit of an increase there. That was due to FY23. We didn't quite hit our mark. We were below revenue just a titch. And then for the FY24 budget, where we're in right now, our interest on savings, we budgeted quite a bit more. We were about $200,000-$300,000 in that area. And then also our equipment sale in FY24, we had a pretty large equipment sale that we were projecting. We'll get to that later. I don't know if we're actually going to move forward with that, but that's why those two numbers are maybe a little higher than the priors. And anybody ask any questions, if they have any, as we move through this? So moving down to the second graph, our the budget, actual budget annual comparison. Wanted to highlight in there that we appear, well, we have been coming under budget the last 3 or 4 years for what we've actually budgeted for, what we actually expended. The large in FY22 that might stand out as we budgeted 9.2, almost 9.3. We actually spent 6.5. That was primarily due to, in that particular year, we budgeted for about $2.5 million for land acquisition when we were looking at the transfer station concept that we never purchased. So that's a big part of that. And then FY23 was inflated budget-wise and actual, primarily due to the Allen property land purchase, the landfill gas system, and then if you recall, the scraper that we purchased that particular year. Knowing that the FY23 actual, we were kind of behind a little bit, and that particular budget year was inflated. We did try to reduce costs the best we could within that particular budget year of FY23. So Our budget was 13.5 and the actual was up to 12.3. Primarily, the reasons for that is we didn't do the softscape. Some of the landscaping project, that was 150,000. Some of the dust control money got pushed into the next 20 to this fiscal year. Storage buildings we didn't move forward with, and then there were some other engineering costs and a few other smaller items, fencing, some equipment we didn't move forward with, just to try to reduce our costs a little bit, because I knew the budget wasn't kind of getting where we needed to get. So that's the reason for that large change. But however, we still, you know, spent quite a bit more money in FY23 than we actually brought in FY23. So that's why you'll see for the FY25 request, and with our fee increases, we're going to start to try to replenish that money and start to get in a better position for future infrastructural needs and capital improvements. So with that, does anybody have any question on those charts? So I'd like to just run through the revenue side of things. First, so landfill fees, basically projecting our fees for FY25, just a 3% from what we budgeted for in 24. What we budgeted for in 24, I added 3% to that number. And then with the projection of an additional 1.8 million for the FY25 new fee structure, that's where we come up with the almost 9.7 million. So that's how I came up with that. So we're projecting our fees to be at $9,694,950. Recycling capital, about $85,000. That just depends on the recycling market. That's primarily our tin pile, our metal recycling with Pacific Recycling, rims, tire rims. Anything else there?
Aluminum.
Special metals. So that's what the recycling revenues from. Interest on savings, projecting that at $500,000. And I haven't had a chance to talk with the clerk on that yet. And if you think that's where we should be.
We'll plug that in and revise. I was just looking at the fund balance end of April. So Treasurer Lloyd did present what we asked her to present, what she felt would be a reasonable total interest. And then we determine how the allocation gets applied to the various funds. Like at the end of April, you're essentially tied for the second largest fund balance. So current expense is big, and then justice and solid waste disposal are close second, third. But yours is probably going to continue to grow. You're going to probably beat justice and fund balance and be a solid number two and continuing to grow. And so, yeah, you should be receiving roughly about a third. Certainly a third of what the allocation should be, but that in the workshop we'll figure out how that gets applied.
So that's one spot we may need to be.
So I would like to explore that just for a little bit, because I'm not interested in this fund being tied into buying the bonds and all of the other stuff. The LGIP, I have no reservation to keeping it all within that at the moment. Do you have feelings, or do we have even the authority to discuss that where it goes to the treasurer? And I don't understand the difference between an enterprise fund on her authority, what to do with savings or not on an enterprise fund.
Chairman, we'll have to explore that and maybe bring that back with some.
If you could, yep. If you could, I'd appreciate that.
That's one area I do get some comments. There's at least one gentleman with the Solid Waste Advisory Committee that asked me about our interest in our reserve account balance and what interest we're getting on that. So it was a discussion I was hoping to have with the clerk.
And that's the trouble for the public. The treasurer is held to quite a few standards because of the different funds. Excuse me. And it's not quite as simple as the public who drives by the local bank and sees what the current interest rate they're putting on CDs. It's not quite that simple.
So for now, I have 500,000. I think we're on track to hit that this fiscal year. So that's what I put in. And then a little bit of revenue coming in on the equipment line item, maybe a sale of a vehicle or two. So that's where we come up with the grand total of the almost 10.3 million for the projected revenue for FY25. So again, the fees, I'm just 3%, and then adding the 1.8 million projection of the fee, new fee increase. That's primarily where it all comes from. So, and then, so if we could just, before we pull up the nice organizational chart that you guys can't read, I wanted to go through the first line item, or first couple line items in the regular employees A budget. You'll notice we have an increase in overtime from 25,000, almost 70,000. And we'll talk about that when we get into the reorganization discussion. And then also, I have new and reclassified positions. The current one should read $252,226. So that's the money that I budgeted for our reorganization, using the worksheets that were provided by the clerk's office for new positions and any market rate adjustments. So we can just pull up that reorg chart.
This chart?
The reorganizational chart? Just
the flow chart.
Fancy flow.
There you go. Oh, you're doing great.
All right, we can blow something up if we need to. So basically, the reorganizational process for the landfill, we've been talking about for quite some time. We've been talking about some operational issues that we've been having as far as starting and end of the day operations. The board and Greg have talked to me about succession planning in that area. So yeah, I kind of see this reorganization of landfill maybe in three parts. We have some operations issues that we've already begun. We have a reorganization. And then we have maybe some market rate adjustments that we need to make from the last compensation period to take care of some compression issues, equity issues, and just market issues. So with that, we're proposing for the FY25 budget, two new FTEs. The two new FTEs are the new deputy director of solid waste, and then a senior administrative specialist. They're the two brand new FTEs. I'm proposing a reclassifying of two positions. We currently have a lead heavy equipment operator and a mechanic FTE available to us. I'm proposing that we reclassify those two positions into what I'm calling a landfill operations supervisor / heavy equipment operator. And then there's some job title changes with that will require any compensation changes.
All of this has been run through HR on the reclassifications.
We've so far have had two meetings we've had three. I've had a meeting with HR and then two subsequent meetings with HR and Greg on the process. So the first part of that was just our operational issues and some of the things we were dealing with in terms of starting, closing, and Maybe I'll, Daniel, talk a little bit about that part of it in terms of we've moved some operators, just operators. Not all the landfill staff, not all the FTEs, just operators to a 12-hour work shift. And we'll talk about why and the efficiencies of that.
Yes, Chair, members of the board. So as you guys may or may not know, our gates open from 8 to 5:30. So the operators had been getting there from 7:30 to 6 was their scheduled shift, 4/10s. Usually in the summertime, every day they're averaging about a half an hour, 75 minutes a day. So that's pushing it 6:30, 6:45 to close up the landfill, you know, because we have to cover it every day with dirt and our tarp system. So before, when it was, I guess, less busy, we're growing, 5:30 to 6, that was a better window. But now we have customers inside the landfill still past 5:30, you know, from 6 o'clock. To ask them that close things up from 5:30 to 6 is almost unrealistic, you know. So we've been mulling it, and then we can go into the time sheets. You can see they've been getting 0.5 consistently every day, and I just have been bugging Dave and trying to figure out a way to help these guys, help the employees have a little sense of relief, you know, that they can do their job within a timely manner. And that's kind of where the proposition of 12-hour shift came about, you know. So it's more of a, it's a big operation thing is why we made the decision.
So operationally, you know, everybody kind of has it in their mind, 6 o'clock's the end of their shift, you know. So then, you know, it's kind of a culture thing. And, you know, come 6 o'clock, you know, people are starting to rush, hurry. So the quality of work, you know, we're concerned about some of the safety, you know, because now we're rushing, it's 6 o'clock, I made an appointment at 6:30, I need to get home, or, you know, whatever, what have you. So it's just human nature. Their shift was from 7:30 to 6, and, you know, they see 6 coming, and they're trying to get out of there. So quality of work, safety, stress, so we're worried about that kind of thing. We talked about different ways of maybe having a late start for some of the staff to come in and finish, to do it that way. Number one, that was very unpopular. Number two, it still would have required probably an additional 2 or 3 FTEs and operators, because then you have people calling sick or people have vacations, and who's going to cover that? It became very problematic. So in order to sustain what we were doing, probably it would have really taken us into more FTE. I really feel that the 12-hour shifts is going to be the most efficient way of running the landfill. And it's not abnormal in the industry. You know, I don't like to, you know, we sometimes we refer to Ada County too much, but because I want to do it on our own way. But Ada County has 12-hour shifts. They already operate that way. It works well for them. And other landfills I know of do the same. So, and this will also allow us maybe to, industry is always calling me, you know, hey, can we come in earlier? You know, can we maybe come a little later? So this might provide us an opportunity to accommodate some of the industry as well a little bit, to allow them to come in maybe a little earlier. That'll be easy. Have them come in later, I don't know. We will have to see, because then it might put us right back into the same boat that we're in.
Right.
Having said that, though, it is truly most of the time just the general public handed loads that come in. It's kind of like walking through the door of a restaurant at, you know, right when they're closing, and then one full meal. You know, they come right in the gate at 5:29, and they got a hand unload trailer full of shingles. You're just like, oh my God. So now, you know, when they're down there, that we can't finish, because, for lack of better words, they're in the way. We can't run the equipment. They're depositing their material, and so we're really trying to figure out the most efficient way of doing that. And And we talked to our staff, we talked to the operators, they were already doing 10 and a half, 11 and a half hours a day already. With this schedule, it provides them more time off. It provides them a day or two more out of a month of time off. It also does provide them a little bit more overtime and compensation-wise, and they're already doing it anyway, because how schedule-wise and having the right people at the right time, so we don't have too many people one day, too many people the next day, we've worked it out to where they, 1 week they work three days, and the next week they work 4 days. So 1 week they work 36 hours, and the next week they work 48 hours, for a total of 44 hours for a pay period. But they do get 8 hours overtime within that 1 week, because it's the 1 week. So that provides a compensation benefit to them as well. So our back to that overtime line item, our overtime will go up slightly from what we're already paying. However, if you look at three FTEs for operators, the projected 60-70,000 is way more efficient than an additional two or three FTEs at the tune of 200-300,000 after you get done with benefits and compensation and everything. Wow. So we really feel like that's going to be the more efficient way.
Okay.
So that's with the 12-hour shifts. So reorganizational wise, how we set it up, and appreciate Greg Grass, our chief operating officer's suggestions. We kind of split it into two groups, kind of a financial side, administrative side, and then an operations side. The director obviously would be in charge of all of it, but the deputy director would be directly down gradient from all the operational side of things. So we'll still have an operational manager, and then proposing the two supervisors. We did that for accountability reasons. Right now, you know, we have lots of operators down there closing the landfill for the day, doing work. We have an operations manager. However, you know, that person's doing other things. We just need more. We modeled that for accountability reasons. So now we have an actual supervisor that's going to be in charge of 3 days with a crew. And another supervisor would be charged another 3 days with a crew for a total of 6 days. Because if you remember, we worked Monday through Saturday. So that's the reasoning behind having the operations supervisor / heavy equipment operator position. Is there any questions on that so far? It's a lot confusing.
Well explained. Thank you.
So the third leg of the three-legged stool here on our reorg is we wanted to do some, or need to do some market adjustments. And I have budgeted for that. That's part of that $252,226 that's in the new and reclassified positions. If you want to bring up that spreadsheet I put together, Clerk. So with the market adjustments, the areas in purple, if we can maybe just focus in on those. The areas in purple, I'm gonna move to the left, we'll be able to see so right now we have fee collectors, we have hazardous waste screeners, and we have hazardous waste screeners / heavy equipment operators. Right now, the hazardous waste screeners are pretty much making the same or less than the fee collectors. Our hazardous waste screener operators are making right currently pretty close to what our fee collectors are making. And that got all compressed primarily when we went to the $18 minimum. As far as just looking at the market, looking at other landfills, we really need to adjust those slightly upward of $2. The screeners and the screener operators need to be slightly
all the adjustments are
forward $2.
Okay.
And then we did have one outlier, our environmental compliance safety operator. I'm looking at market, it's at the very top clerk, you already have it highlighted. That one's just also $2. And then the landfill mechanic lead landfill heavy equipment, or yeah, the lead landfill heavy equipment operator, they're being reclassified to the supervisor position. So we need to adjust those upwards a little bit for market, and then a small grade change. So they have been all accounted for in the budget. And then you'll see the one line item that we have in blue there, the March. We've already accomplished that. The lead landfill heavy and the mechanic position, we've already adjusted those prior, but I just wanted to monument that it's kind of part of this whole process, but we've already done that, and that's already accounted for in the A budget. So that's why I didn't put that in the new reclassified area. We already have it, should have it accounted for in the A budget. Any questions there? I did want to highlight the green a little bit, however, though. Right now I have the spreadsheet and the budget built on no market adjustment for the operators. As you can see, we adjusted the screeners, because this is the landfill staff that are out in the heart of the beast. These guys are out doing the day-to-day work of the landfill operations. The screeners, the screener operators, and the operators. And I'm always looking at just other landfills and the industry to make sure that, you know, for recruitment, et cetera, that we're competitive. So we really need to do the screener operators. The landfill heavy equipment green here, currently we have it positioned for no market adjustment. The prior discussions were that we were proposing adjustment for them, but now we've kind of shifted to this 12-hour shift. There's some overtime benefits. They're getting some extra days off a month. So we put that aside for the moment. However, I still just kind of wanted to bring it up that, you know, an afterthought, thought that was fair. An afterthought, they are already getting, they're already realizing some of the benefit of going to the 12 hours, i.e., remember I said back prior that even though they were working full 4 10s, they were still there 11 and a half a lot of times. So they were already seeing some of that overtime benefit that they're going to see with the 12 hours. So they're not going to realize, because we did some calculations on what that looked like on from 40 to go into this 44, and we calculated out what, you know, their benefit is in terms of what overtime increase they would get with that, and it looked pretty substantial. So we were thinking that we met what we needed to meet in the market area. However, they're already getting it, so they're already kind of used to it, at least some of it, maybe not all of it. So I was hoping maybe, because this is a workshop, this is some guidance, we're going to be doing some revisions. I was hoping to go back and maybe talk with the chief operating officer and HR a little bit more about that, and maybe doing, maybe not all of what I was hoping to do, but maybe half of it, maybe a little bit of it in that area, maybe like a dollar. Because, I mean, right now we're starting heavy equipment operators. There's two top slots, they're $24.50. That's what we're starting heavy equipment operators at. is $24.50. That's the starting of the pay, because they're in grade 13. So I was hoping to possibly talk about that a little bit. I don't want to short circuit the conversations that the chief and HR we've had so far.
Chairman.
This is kind of an afterthought. I was thinking like they're already getting some of it. So anyway,
I think you need to follow up on that conversation and come back with that. I'm concerned about that entry level price and if having to replace, I mean, construction guys are construction guys and they don't necessarily get the benefits and having a job all year long and all of that stuff. They just look at that hourly thing and I think it could severely limit us on getting workers.
Chairman, I have a question. So, Director, it's an entry-level wage. You're saying that's a person with no skill, or where's your skills level at?
So if somebody can meet the minimum requirements of the job and come in and operate heavy equipment at the minimum level, that $24.50 is their starting.
I'm teasing Commissioner Brooks. He likes driving that equipment. He'd have to take a pay cut.
Well, he couldn't even drive that new piece of equipment worth a darn. I don't know this equipment.
I didn't run over you, Mr.
Well, that's true, and I appreciate that very much.
My question is, what you have proposed here on the sheet, what's the overall value if we were to do this? What's the dollar number?
If we increased those six positions $1, it'd be a total increase of about $18,000 total.
We have $2 on the sheet though. So 36. Plus benefits.
I think that's
going back to the purple or the
green? I'm just saying everything you've got on the sheet.
The whole thing, including the two new FTEs.
Is that the 252? Okay.
You show the new FTE separate from the cost of the adjustment. Did you call that out in your information?
I didn't, but I could do that quick math.
That's
basically one. Should have been prepared for that.
That's what I'm here for.
No, it's a workshop. We can do the quick math. So we got 135, 149 is the deputy, and the admin special is 75. Okay. 139 is the deputy, plus 75. 472, so that's 210. So out of the 252,000 proposed, what we're currently proposing, 210 of it is the two new FTEs.
Yeah. Yes, Jay.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth our time to entertain going from $2 to $1 if you think it's necessary that we look at the $2 adjustment.
Well, if you put the spreadsheet back up, I'm suggesting the $2 for the screener operators, and I was bringing up maybe we should revisit the green part of it, the operators, and adding a dollar or something.
That's the one you didn't propose any increase for, so it's five positions that would add a dollar each.
Six.
Okay.
We add a dollar each, and that would be a tune of about $18,000.
So you leave everybody else at $2, and you give these the $1.
Correct.
Okay.
This is news to Greg, in all fairness.
He'll get over it.
Mr. Haslak, don't reduce the dollar on the top or the bottom end. So if it's just the green, I totally get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
They were already getting some of the overtime that we're thinking, wow, they're getting a big benefit. They were already getting it because they were working 11 and a half hours. And I think market, we're just below.
That's what's bothering me. So I
agree.
Really be in favor of the dollar.
Yep.
$1 for those six positions, if you work the spreadsheet that the clerk provided us, would be about 18,000 additional.
I think it's a good idea. And
I'll talk more with HR and.
Right. And Dave, for several years, there's been discussion about the wages paid to heavy equipment operators, and it is competitive. And so I think trying to catch that up where we're fee-based is a good idea.
Yep.
And in all fairness, I did take a hard look at the market, private and public sector. We're not, it looks odd. I agree. I thought it would have been more.
Oh.
But we're actually close. That dollar is going to get it up there. The $2, if we move that to $2, we'd be right there. But a dollar will get us where we need, especially with the new 12-hour shift, the extra days off, some more overtime. I think that gets us to where we need to get.
Chairman, I just want to say, too, I appreciate your including that, but working 12-hour shifts is challenging. It is not the same as working an 8-hour shift. And so while there's benefit financially on that, you are sacrificing on the other end. There's some opportunity cost to your family and different things. So.
I appreciate the direction.
You're welcome.
I will go back and talk with HR and Greg a little bit more. So with that, I'd like to move on to our B budget revenue side.
All right.
We have
yes.
15 minutes, right?
Yeah. So I do have one item on the revenue side.
Okay.
Question, because we added to the sheriff's office budget $96,000 for a purchase of land from the enterprise fund. So do we need to put the $96,000 in revenue on his side?
Absolutely.
So it's one more. So that way it's counted on both sides.
You should look into being an accountant.
Fresh in my mind.
Yes, so if we're going to sell some land, we need have some revenue coming in. I'm being a little facetious with that, but that's how we've always operated the enterprise fund. It's always been very separate, distinct from
the
enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be stated. It needs to stay that way.
Kind of precedent.
Right.
Good catch on that, Chief.
Good catch, Chief. Good.
So
thank you.
Yep. So let's get that line item. Even if we have to put in a new line item, but.
Right. I think that is a good idea.
Miscellaneous revenue?
I would put it under land acquisition.
Acquisition.
I don't know. The chief will know.
How much is that? About 100?
Clerk.
It was
96,000.
Sarah has all the details.
Okay.
Good job, Sarah.
Very good. Well, thank you.
All right. B.
So moving on to the B budget. So what I'm going to do with this is I'm just going to highlight, because I believe you guys have all this in front of you as well. I'm just going to highlight ones that I feel that are important and that might have some notes with it.
Perfect.
And then if you see anything that I jump over, go ahead and just ask me about it.
Okay.
So professional consultants, that's our third-party Tetra Tech contract. That's our third-party engineer. Miscellaneous professional services, that $2.2 million. That comes off, that basically is derived right from our landfill fees. Not total revenue, fees. So there's 20% of our fees goes back to the county and I guess the general fund for admin rate or indirect rate, that's what I call it. It's for the PA's office, it's for HR department, it's for IT, for chief operating officer. It's all the support that the county, most of it's from chief operating on them. It's all the support that the county provides the enterprise fund to function. Because if we didn't have that, we'd have to have our own HR, we'd have to have our own IT, we'd have to have our own attorneys, we'd have to have all that. So 20% of our fees goes back to the county for those services. And then there, within that, there's projected $300,000 that will go back to the Justice Fund for our SILDS program, our work crew inmate program. So we keep track of the hours, the days that the SILDS workers work out there, and our MOU with the sheriff It's $15 an hour. If I had to hire labor detail, you know, it'd be a nightmare trying to just be a revolving door. We'd have benefits. We'd have workman's comp. We'd have, you can imagine. So having that program to bring the SILTS program out and do litter picking, roadside cleanup, odd jobs, it's a win-win. And so we provide the justice fund that work. So that's about $300,000. So that's where that $2,238,000 comes from. I'm going to just go to permits and licensure. That $20,000. We now have Title V air permit, so permitting for DEQ, permitting for Southwest District Health. Every time Southwest District Health comes out and does an inspection, there's cost for that. So that's where those monies go. And then obviously credit card services, the next one, we're all aware of that. That just keeps going up and up and up. And however, every call we do charge, our charge right now is $225 to cover that cost. So it's a wash. But that's in our revenue side. Diesel, bumped that back up a little bit to $380,000. Hopefully that's enough. So maybe the chairman had some guidance on that. You think diesel prices are going to stay where they're at?
I'll let you know after November.
So I did kick that up a little bit to hopefully cover. And then wood waste removal down at the bottom, towards the bottom, wood waste removal. That seems to be coming back up. The $400,000, that's our recycling contract with Timber Creek Recycling. Again, that number, you know, we charge a certain amount to bring the waste in. It costs us more to take it out, to recycle it. However, we have the savings in airspace. So if you do the accounting, we still come out in the black. With the current volume of that we're recycling in basically in 20 years, we would save a whole year's worth of airspace. And obviously that airspace today is worth about $10 million. So if you take that, because if the waste came in and I charged for it and I put it in the landfill and used the airspace, I can't charge somebody else to put that material in the airspace. So by how we really make that work is because we have a savings in airspace. That's really how that whole process works. If you didn't have that, it wouldn't make sense to charge less than what it cost you to get rid of it. But for us, it does.
Chairman. Can I ask a question? Do you ever foresee a time when you direct people to take that right to our recycler instead of handling it twice?
Boy, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, that's a tough question. So I mean, it would be a policy change of the landfill that we do not take wood waste. Then what I could foresee happening, I mean, we could do that. We're just not taking wood waste that has to go to the private sector. But then what will happen is that all that wood waste will start getting hidden in the trash. It'll get mixed in with the trash. And then we would have to go a step further. We'd have to say we won't take mixed loads. And if it's got a little bit of branches and stuff in it, then we can turn it. So to answer your question, no.
Okay. It was just a question. I was just curious where there was a differential on what it costs to receive it as opposed to move it.
Right now, just to get it separated out of the waste stream and not go into the landfill, we create a financial carrot, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the for construction and demolition, it's $34 a ton. Soon to go up to $38 a ton. We only charge $12.50 a ton, going up a little higher when our fees go up. But right now, we charge $12.50 a ton for clean wood. So it incentivized the contractors to separate out the wood from the other trash so they get a better rate. And that seems to be the best way to get the community to separate the waste streams is if there's a financial.
Incentive, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for answering the question.
But we would, at the end of the day though, we need to work with the industry, the recycling industry, to have our rates somewhat competitive to where we do try to push more of the waste, more of the recycling waste to the recycler, so we don't get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves our airspace,
mm-hmm.
plus we don't have to pay to get rid of it.
Right.
Right.
So we do need to, and I've talked to some of the private sector about that, how we can get maybe a little closer so they'll take it there instead of bringing it to us, because
yeah.
we don't want it.
Yeah, and that was, thank you, that's really the end goal, yeah.
So we'll be looking forward to some rate changes then.
Great. Householder hazardous waste collection, it's slated for $200,000. We subsidize that. That's to encourage people to bring their household hazardous waste out separately, and we recycle it, so it's not going into the landfill. Moving on to the next page, 53220 landfill expansion. We have money slated, $150,000 slated for our expansion project. That's full tilt, full speed ahead. I'll be probably getting on the commissioner's calendar to have a presentation on the expansion plans, latest discussions with Department of Environmental Quality on how they would like us to send in our application, so that more information to come on that. Equipment repairs, $150,000 for this fiscal year. We have some a couple of older machines that we'll be doing some work on. Let's see. We have a new line item called landfill gas maintenance. That's due to our new flare station. We didn't have that before. Just like to highlight a little bit down in the next category under mileage, parking, hotels, education, training. We have a pretty good chunk of money there set aside for our education and training, our safety training that we want to do annually, plus send staff to some of the professional trainings. So we want to continue that process, as we spoke about earlier, to just continue the ongoing safety training of staff and monumenting that. I'm going to slide all the way down to tires. We've got $50,000 budgeted for tires. That's for heavy equipment tires. And then moving down to computer equipment. That's computer equipment, 577100. That's per IT. That's for some replacements of just computers, standard rotation.
Clerk, are we going to be taking the $4 and the $2 out of those line items for the next go around?
Can try to, except if you force it in with the dollar amount and the system rounds back to that, then.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, well,
I put $20,000 in there. I don't know how the $4 showed up, but
yes.
I was going with it.
It's chasing the ghost. There's a glitch in the application. That's changing it, shifting by $4.
Sometimes it'll be $4 long, and sometimes it'll be $4 short. You'll put in $20,000, and it'll put $19,996 in there.
All right.
I don't know where. I don't know.
We're looking at it.
Okay.
I share your pain.
Yeah. Frustrated.
And moving on to the last page, in the six categories, I didn't plan for a huge amount of capital improvements this year. Kind of twofold, taking a breather a little bit from the last couple of years and just trying to get a handle on some of our new systems, the flare, the dust control, some of the other stuff. And also we really need to start looking at recouping the reserve account and planning for future expenses. So in this category, I did put some money into other improvements where we do still need to fix a couple other asphalt areas and some cracking issues. So that's other improvements. That's what that money's for.
Chairman.
Yes.
Did you finish all the hardscape and you got the sign and the stone? Is everything, the ribbon, all that curbing?
I
done?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, yes, that's all been completed, that's done.
Okay, so this is just ongoing maintenance for the...
Yeah, that's some additional asphalt work down the road, down Old Perch Road. That is,
okay.
Have some wear, and then there's some cracking in some of the asphalt that needs to be done that sealed.
Okay.
So it's just kind of separate. And we did budget for one truck, working with Fleet on that. That's what that truck and pickup line item is for. And then the heavy equipment, you'll probably notice as we go through these budgets year after year, we budget for about $1 million every year for new equipment. We have a rotating schedule, we have a plan, we have like a 10-year plan. So this year, we're ready for our rebuild of a Caterpillar. One of the compactors needs to be rebuilt. And then we're budgeting for another water truck due to our air permit, dust control requirements. So this is the first rebuild of the 836K compactors. If, prior, we made the investment in two 836K Caterpillar compactors with the intent of each one of them lasting about 4 years, 10,000 hours. At about that 10,000 hour range, it'd be rebuilt to get another 10,000 hours at about 2/3 the cost of a new. So the longer we keep them, we reduce our operating hour on the machine. We've kind of rolled the dice a little bit because this current machine had some problems while it was under warranty. They had to put a brand new transmission in it and all the lower gears, and that was part a lot of the rebuild. So we've stretched that machine to about, we're sitting at about 13,000 hours with it. And so that's the oldest 836K we have. So it's time for a rebuild. When we first bought the machine, they were talking like $650,000 for a rebuild, but we paid about $9 million for it.
$900,000. There we go.
We may be better looking to buying some new ones.
Holy cow.
But unfortunately, the last, 6 years have been tough.
Everything's inflated.
So now a new one, we're sitting at about 1.4 for a new one. So the rebuild is going to be about what we paid for the new one, about $900,000.
Wow.
It's crazy. But we've gotten almost, 6 years out of it instead of 4 years, 10,000. So, I mean, so it's going to be $900,000 for a rebuild. When it comes back to us, though, it's a full rebuild. We'll have powertrain and hydraulic warranties on everything for another 4 years, 10,000 hours. Correct?
Yes.
4 years, 10,000 hours. So it'll all have warranties back on it. So then we'll take the one we're using now, put it in as a backup on this one for a while, and we'll rebuild the other one. Over time, it's going to save us, you know, $500,000 to $1 million, you know, to do it over time. But it's still a hard pill to swallow when you're talking, we're going to rebuild rebuild it for what we paid for it new.
Yeah.
But that's years ago.
How long does a rebuild take?
3 months.
Yep.
So we have our backup, our primary now,
yes.
And then we have our Aljon backup. We kept that old Aljon. So we have three compactors. That was probably the best decision we made. When we bought the two, we were going to sell the third one off. We saw we could only get maybe $50,000-$60,000 for it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And I was like, we're keeping it. You know,
it's
paying dividends because we've had to use it a bunch.
Yeah, we've had to use it more than we wanted to.
All this tier four stuff, all the
stuff
on the machines, they're not as reliable as they used to be. So with that, just in closing, as you'll see, our revenues projected at like 2.3. Our total expenses, A budget, B budget, we're at about 8.7. So we're projecting, hopefully we'll be able to put back into the reserve account about 1.7 for the fiscal year 25. And again, that's to plan for future infrastructure, future capital. We have expansion coming, great unknown there. We don't know if we're gonna have to line the facility with the expansion or not. We put in a liner, now we have leachate collection. So price of poker is going to go way up if we have to line expansion. So we need to start planning for that. With the expansion, we have more land for post-closure, closure care expenses. So we really do need to start putting money back in the reserve account, building that fund to be fiscally sound for the future, 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Chief?
Mr. Chair, just a quick question. Is that on the agenda for the SWAT committee for the landfill expansion? Is that something you're going to be talking to them about?
That will be the part of our next meeting, yes. I have that on our list.
Okay. I look forward to it.
And well, this is the time. I'll be scheduling a meeting with the board to have a landfill expansion discussion and
sure.
And brief the board on where we're at with that.
Okay. Chairman?
Yes.
I just discovered a small thing that actually affects Nikki, who happens to be in the room. So part of the miscellaneous professional services that we collect from Lumber, it looks like every year $35,000 is also, this was the budget amendment for 23, gets transferred over to Parks to provide for maintenance. Are you aware of this? Weird because it has never been budgeted and her budget is incoming revenue, but I can look over the last 8 years and part of this transfer that you'll see here that you approved, the most recent one, we debit his account into credit, take that cash, and we disgro that to current expense, justice fund, and then that $35,000 line is going to Nikki's fund. And it's been going there every year for at least it looks like the last 8 years, but it's not in her budgeted revenue. It looks like she's not aware.
Chairman.
Yeah.
Clerk, thank you
you're
for the.
Not aware of it either because you didn't mention it.
I am not aware of it.
One of the things, yeah.
Yep.
Chairman, commissioners, I don't have a spreadsheet on how the total 20% gets.
Right.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And
you're just the donor, you're not the receiver. So.
Chairman, I would say that this is the benefit of the motto of transparency and what the clerk is bringing. There was some maybe lack of knowledge on how that was dispersed, and so I really appreciate, and so does the Parks Director in bringing knowledge to that. The directors were totally ignorant of a fund balance or how much was in there, so it is very nice to have that level of transparency and information provided. It's helpful.
Mr. Chairman, part of that doesn't even make sense to me because it says Jubilee Park going to Parks, but then in parentheses it said future landfill. So I don't even know why it would be going that direction. So I look forward to what else you bring us.
Is this, my understanding is, do you provide some level of maintenance?
So we have Jubilee Park, which is essentially where the landfill is not currently active. OHBers get to go there, and even State Parks holds OHB training there. So it's landfill property being used as a park. Facilities does help maintain
the bathrooms
in that area. Yes.
Oh, sounds like facilities should be getting the 35.
We got them both in the room right here. Sorry. Well, we haven't done the budget amendment for 24 yet. It looks like traditionally it's been done at the end of the year, and it's a final journal entry where that money gets transferred.
Sure.
Because it's not budgeted, in one way it's non-budgeted revenue, that I can just see, like, this is historically here, at least going back to 2016, you see how there's $35,000 every year here. This is the historical.
Yeah.
And if you see here in PowerPlan the annual budget, it's under other miscellaneous charges and fees, $35,000. This is 23. It's realized in the actual, but in the budget it's zero. So the prior clerk and the commissioners and that end of the year journal entry budget amendment, $35,000 of that administrative allocation is going to Nikki's budget. And she's, yeah, so I just assumed everyone knew what was going on.
Now we do.
I think Nikki will start attending more of these.
Only if it's going to bring money.
It sounds like Britton's providing the muscle, though. His group's providing the muscle on her behalf. I don't know, but I don't know institutionally what the logic was in this and why it's not budgeted, but like I would suggest if the intent is next year, and it, maybe it's partly because of why it was done. Well, no,
actually,
that doesn't make sense.
It's probably when the landfill owned the gun range property and Parks took care of it. and then we bought that property from landfill, and maybe it just didn't get caught. Because that would make sense. Because we were maintaining the gun range, but it was technically Dave's property.
Okay.
And then we remedied that, and so I wonder if, because I wasn't aware of this, I wouldn't have been able to bring that to anyone's attention, so.
Gotcha. Well, we can't undo the past, but you haven't done the budget amendment yet for FY24. And it's technically not in her budget, so we'll wait a couple, it's a few months before we do the budget amendment. You can decide, sounds like there's a quantifiable amount that goes to justice fund. And there's a chunk, 35,000 looks like a fixed number that's gone to Nikki's, and then whatever's left over has gone to current expense.
Yeah.
And, but when we circle back whether we should park some revenue in Nikki's budget, if that's what the intent is, we should build that accordingly, or just leave it at zero and it's a to be determined budget amendment. But if it's budget as revenue, then it's not like unanticipated revenue. It's
right.
You're anticipating, so.
Chairman, I know it's overtime, but the expansion is in addition to the Allen property, or is that the same? Or maybe you can't say.
No, I can, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The Allen property will be part of the expansion of the landfill someday. There's still a step or two that we need to do to, we need to go through what they call a site certification process, and we still need to go through the county land use process for zoning. However, just owning the property, if you recall, allowed us to not have that current 300-foot setback from our current property line. So we can bring the waistline all the way up to our current property line where we do have appropriate zoning and site certification,
mm-hmm.
which the math and the projection still, that's what we showed, is that was the additional 25 plus years of space that property gained us. When we do the site certification and we do the zoning, somebody else in way in the future is going to get it probably another 25, 30 years out of it. So that's why it kept, it's huge, acquiring that property.
Thank you. Yeah.
We still have some steps.
Okay.
All righty. Well, I would be in favor of, with these changes, moving this forward in the process?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Let the records show. So if there is anything else, let's take a short 5-minute break and get ready for the next one.